Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp for Android, the ultimate media player for your desktop and Android device, featuring wireless sync. Download it free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 184, recorded January 11th, 2011. Food spotting. Net at Night is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. And by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that's simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to night.hover.com. night.hover.com. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California, U.S. of A. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and I cannot do that thing with my eyebrows that you're doing.
I grow caterpillars there.
Many talents.
Actually, I think that I'm going to get those plucked later today so that they don't quite take over. You know, I won't be here next week. What are you laughing at? I don't want to be the guy, you know, that guy with the bushy eyebrows, you know, that's like a character actor.
Yes. In my neighborhood in Toronto, we have a place where all they do is eyebrows. It's called the Brow House and they specialize in eyebrows. So I get it, Leo.
It's a good idea. And, you know, apparently I have a Tintin forelock here. I don't know where that came from, but I'll have to get
Tintin?
That. Yeah. Tintin. I'll have to get that fixed. But but the eyebrows, I just don't want to be like, you know, the guy with the big bushy eyebrows on the show. So.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart.
I won't be here next Tuesday. I'm going to New York City to do Regis and Kelly. And I have gadgets galore that, you know, we collected at CES. It's a great time to do that show because, you know, I'll see hundreds of gadgets. So it's a fairly easy thing to find something cool and unique and interesting.
I can't wait for you to be on the show. I have it in my calendar already,
Thank
Leo.
You.
And I think all of us, everybody who is who either works on Twitter or who is a fan, we should all tweet to Regis and Kelly when you are on the show. Because
well,
they would probably not experience such a wave of
their look. I know, really. They do have I think it's Regis underscore and underscore Kelly. They finally did get a Twitter account. Thank goodness.
Yeah, and they use it. I mean, I haven't checked for a while, but
yeah,
I think I follow them. They do use it quite often.
By the way, they're going to do two segments with me. So I'm going to do a live gadget segment, and then we're going to pre-tape a segment that will air the week of January 31st, in which I will teach Regis how to Twitter.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
I think you
great.
Should come down for that, please. Amber is, after
that.
All, the author of Power Friending. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll give him this book.
You should. You
I'll
should
say,
tell him he needs
yeah.
that book.
I have another one. Marcia Collier wrote a book, Twitter for Seniors. Maybe I'll give him that.
He might not like that. But he's very much against, I don't want to say technology, but he's a little skeptical.
Here's what they wrote. Keep in mind, Regis has a hard time with cell phones, so you will have your hands full. Maybe some type of cheat notes would work with pictures. Obviously, he needs to learn. This is good. This is going to be a lot of fun. I can only imagine what this is going to be like.
I think you'll enjoy it, Leo. I think it will go over well. But I'm going to watch that. That sounds even more interesting.
That'll be more interesting. Now, because we're pre-taping it, it won't be live. So I was thinking, well, this is a chance to do, you know, get Regis to tweet live. But it'll be a run later. So I don't know what we're going to do about that. But we'll
do like a twit pic or something for sure, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. I should show him how to do a picture.
Yeah.
That's a great
that's
idea.
More I think people, when I show people Twitter, I think they always get more out of it when you can take a picture and then tweet it out immediately and people can comment on it. It's that whole instantaneous feeling of seeing yourself online that works.
If only there were an application where you could like go to a restaurant and take a picture of the food you're eating and tweet it and let the world know about it. And like, if you really liked it, it'd be almost like a little mini review. It'd be such a cool application, wouldn't it?
What a great idea.
Wouldn't
kind
that
of
be
like
neat?
Foursquare for foodies.
Foursquare for foodies. And you could like, if you really like something, you could nom nom it, not, you know, say nom nom nom. I love this.
Nom, be, nom nom nom.
Nom 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 nom. And I just, you know, I would subscribe to something like that.
I would too. I feel like right now, if people are listening, we need like those thought bubbles over our heads.
We're going to talk to the founder of Food Spotting, which is exactly that in just a little bit. I'm going to say her name so you don't have to.
Oh, yes. Alexa. That's what
I
would call
her. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, she's coming on the show, and there's been lots of news about them recently. They just also raised $3 million in venture capital, and they're getting tons of new users, and I can't wait to chat with her because they really are a hot new site in 2011. They've been around for a bit, but the past few weeks, they've experienced a lot of buzz.
Well, it's kind of not a surprise because it combines the best elements of Twitter, Foursquare, TwitPic too, I guess you'd have to include because you post a picture of it, or Instagram. I've been a member for some time. I really love it. If you're a foodie, stay tuned. We'll talk to the founder of Food Spotting, Alexa. I'm gonna try it, and I think I can do it.
You can do it.
Andrzejewski, I believe.
Yeah. Huh. Good.
See, that wasn't so hard.
She'll
Unless
let us
I'm
know.
Completely wrong. Before we get to that, though, we should absolutely talk a little bit about the news of the net. What's going on out there?
Yeah. You know, I just read a bunch of headlines about MySpace laying off almost 50% of their staff.
This was the rumor. So it actually happened.
It actually happened. So about 500 employees are affected by this layoff. And it's really funny because yesterday I logged into my MySpace account for the first time, Leo, in months and months and months. And then I logged out right away because I was so horrified by all the spam in my inbox. And I will say, though, you know, they did do a redesign, I think, last fall. And it looks better. The site definitely
looks
better.
It looks
like
Facebook a little bit.
Yeah, it looks a little nicer. And I mean, I think they're trying to really focus on that entertainment market among younger users. So focus on the music market, which is kind of how they started, and music and videos and TV, but with a younger audience than is on Facebook. So hopefully they pull through. I don't know what your experience has been like, but I literally haven't used MySpace or thought about it for, I want to say, years.
I think many of us had accounts. I mean, my first social network was Friendster, because that was the first one really that came out. But I made a MySpace page when MySpace became popular, and loathed it. My kids both used it. And I said, can't you tell what a horrible, you know, you'd customize your user interface by putting arbitrary HTML code in your profile.
Yeah.
Like pasting it into your profile text, and then it would suddenly change your page. I said, can't you tell? And they said, no, it seems good to us. And so it just shows you, kids today, they don't know good. They can't tell. But it eventually just became obvious when Facebook came along, and there was something better. Both kids are now on Facebook, not on MySpace anymore. Although it took Henry a long time. He only gave up MySpace a few months ago.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I thought about getting rid of my account altogether. I thought,
I'm surprised you still have it.
Well, I went in to delete it yesterday, and then I thought to myself, maybe I shouldn't, because, like I said, the design was much better. The whole user experience was a little bit better, and I thought, well, what if they have a comeback
right.
in a year, and I still want to have my account there? So I just decided to let it sit, which, of course, means crazy maintenance once I log back in there because of all the messages. And
well, there's another good reason to do it, and that is because then you at least have your flag in the sand.
Of
that
course.
This is my page. So, you know, you don't want somebody to steal your page. That's a mistake I made when I left Twitter. I joined Twitter in December 2006, but quit in April 2007, or maybe it was, early 2007. Came back a few months later, but I foolishly gave up my account, so I had to kind of get my account back, and it was kind of a problem.
Yeah, that's a bit of a pain. Yeah, I think you're right. It's better to just
keep
kind of sit on it a little bit.
Yeah, you're not using it.
Yeah, there's no harm.
It doesn't take up any space.
Yeah, so unfortunate for the 500 people who have been laid off. But
that's sad. I feel bad for them. Yeah.
A lot of people, you know. And MySpace at one point, I think, was definitely the leader in social networking. And there was, you know.
Oh, yeah,
many stories about it. They were the kind of the hot sites to go to. They're the first ones who, you think of like the MySpace profile picture when everybody has their head turned up.
Angles, the MySpace angles.
angles and all those photos, and is it taking pictures in the mirror?
Right.
You know, they were kind of the originators of all of that. Unfortunately,
what do you think they did wrong? Was it just because it was a bad neighborhood? I mean, that's kind of what you just described. I went back there and, oh, it was a bad neighborhood. Was that what
happened? It got trashy really fast, yeah. I think, unfortunately. That's what I found about the site, is that there were really no rules as far as engaging. There was no consistency as far as the entire design. And so you could sign up kind of as anyone. Whereas Facebook, I mean, they tried and still do to really restrict how you can sign up for an account. You know, you have to be an individual, and they try to, you know, make people sign up for the account versus just, you know, you having a bunch of different random accounts. So I think they, you know, MySpace just didn't protect that at all, and they just let people go crazy. And when you have no rules, that's what happens, is the site becomes a little bit unsavory, if I can say that.
Yeah. It's probably an object lesson for any web entrepreneur to kind of look carefully. What went wrong? What could you not, what could you avoid? What could you not do? I mean, by the way, Facebook, no, they're not shutting down March 15th. Just thought you'd be interested.
Well, what was that all about?
It was a Twitter rumor that just shows you, you know, there, you've got to do some basic sanity checks, some fact checking. Twitter just took $500 million of investment from Goldman Sachs. They are valued at $50 billion. I mean, MySpace. I mean, Facebook.
Where are we?
Facebook. $500 million investment. $50 billion net worth based on that investment. I just heard they crossed 600 million users. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to shut down March 15th. It's such a flop.
Who would believe that?
Apparently, a lot of people did.
I didn't even include it in the headlines. I saw it everywhere, and I'm thinking, who would believe that in the first place? That's
maybe ridiculous. People didn't believe it. They just thought it was funny to pass it on.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Kind of dumb.
Maybe it was April Fool's Day or something. But other than that, I don't think I'd be believing that rumor at all.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, I think Facebook can declare victory now that MySpace is really, I mean, laying off half your employees is pretty much saying we're done.
Be significant, yeah.
We're done, yeah.
Yeah, so another headline, Google is launching an online science fair, and this is kind of neat. It's for teenagers to go online and compete with people in other countries around the world. So essentially, they're asking students to use Google Documents to present their science fair entry, and they're doing experiments in one of 11 suggested areas, and then there's judges who are going to record their observations and vote on the best experiment.
You know what's great about this is it also, and I think this probably is the reason Google's doing it, it teaches people scientific method, because they've given you a rubric so you can very easily see what you need to do. Step one, about me. Step two, the question, pose the question. Step three, hypothesis. So this teaches you scientific method, which I think is great. I think the research is step four. Experiment is step five. And you need to, if you're going to submit, data is step six. Go through these steps in order. Observations, conclusion, and then works cited. I think this is a teaching thing for Google. I think it's fantastic. And I think that there are a lot of schools who will want to do this. And a lot of kids who maybe aren't in school who will want to do it. It's great for homeschoolers, too.
I think it really inspires kids to get interested in science. And I think back to having science fairs in schools and how much fun that was. And it's neat to see this come out where people can really compete internationally, because that was never the case, obviously, when I was younger. You're competing just within your school region. So I'm excited to see what experiments some of these kids come up with. And I mean, I think it's a given that they're going to come up with some pretty amazing projects, especially because they have such a huge group of students who will potentially participate.
It's really neat. I think this is really a great idea. Thank you, Google, for doing this. You know, my daughter is in college right now. She's taking a course required of all freshmen at her school. They call it citizen science, because the president of the school, Leon Botstein, says, we've got a generation that doesn't understand science, scientific method, and in order to be a good citizen, you need to, so that you don't have to be a scientist, but you need to understand how this stuff works. She's loving it. They're learning epidemiology. They're using infectious disease as an example of how to, and that's exactly what this does, by the way, teaches people the method behind science.
Leo, I was thinking of Abby today because I was on YouTube and someone sent me a link to a video where there was a bunch of young French students who were looking at, it was kind of an experiment where people brought in these old gadgets and electronics and they put them in front of these students to get these students to try to guess what they are. Like things like an 8-track or some of the early Nintendo games.
Uh-huh.
And for one of the, I think it was a, I don't know what gaming device it was, but one of the kids said they thought it was a taser. They had no idea what any of these things were, like records. And it was so funny to watch, but it was all in French and it just reminded me of Abby. And I should send you a link to it.
I think it's a, I was talking to Richard Hart. I don't know if people remember Richard Hart. He was the host of The Next Step and is a CNET host for many years. He's a tech journalist, retired, and is now teaching media and television to students at the Academy of Art College in San Francisco. And I said, oh, it must be great, Richard, to have this kind of tech-savvy group of kids. And he said, you know, you'd be surprised. Our generation, because we grew up, maybe even more so than your generation, Amber, because we grew up in a world that went from 0 to 60 in tech. It went from, you know, giant big iron to personal computers and then mobile. We see it as wonders and amazing, and we learned how to use it. He said they take it for granted, and so they don't really learn how to use it. They don't really know how to use it. It's just part of their life.
Yeah, so they don't think about it at all.
They don't
think
about it at all, and as a result, they're not enthusiasts.
Yeah, I could see that. Definitely.
I mean, there's obviously some. We have quite a few young people who watch this, and obviously there's kids doing a lot of great stuff, a lot of new entrepreneurs and so forth. But you would think that that whole young generation would be tech savvy. They're not.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, they just take some of the stuff for granted, you know, it just sort of exists around them.
Exactly. So that's kind of was a revelation to me. So Followgram, boy, we hardly knew ye. That went fast.
I know. I didn't even hear about it until I read this headline. So for people out there who use Instagram, and I know both Leo and I are fans, great for the iPhone 4 to take pictures, add filters, and then share them with other Instagram users. However, there's no web interface for Instagram, which is very frustrating because you always want a place to go and look at your photos online. So this is where Followgram stepped in and provided that web interface so people could go and they could view Instagram photos.
It However, just it filled like- a need. I mean, when we talked to Kevin at Instagram, we said, when are you going to do a web? He said, we'll do one, but they haven't done it yet.
It's taking a long time.
I mean, right now, I mean, you can see a single image on Instagram, but you can't go say, let's go to the web and see all of Leo's pictures or anything like that.
No.
I find that frustrating.
It's very frustrating. So Followgram stepped in and tried to fill this void, and they were shut down. They
by Instagram?
I don't know. It's kind of vague as far as who shut them down, but I would suspect it was Instagram, right?
Yeah, I mean, now Followgram says we'll be back when there's an API.
Hmm.
But, you know, right now you have to get the iPhone. There's not even an Android app yet, and there's no web interface. It's all on the iPhone. If you don't have an iPhone, you can't participate. I guess, you know, that in some ways that's, a good thing. I don't know. That just seems odd.
I don't know. I guess with Instagram, the one thing that I think is that they're really kind of riding a wave right now. You know, they for the past few months, they've been pretty popular and there's a lot of buzz around them. And it just seems like the perfect time to kind of embrace that and get a web interface. Because I know I've kind of not been using them as much because unless I have my phone right there, there's no way for me to really, you know, go and look through my photos and share those photos. And I just feel like that's a huge part of what that service should have.
Well, Instagram apparently does plan to launch an API and a web interface of their own. But at the same time, you know, I'm a little disappointed. And you're right. You got to catch the wave when you can.
Yeah, because then, you know, all of a sudden there's another new app out there that is just.
Right. Maybe that's what they didn't want. Maybe they thought this could have been a new app. Maybe that's what scared them.
Yeah, that's possible too. Yeah. You know, maybe more people would go to that. But
right.
Nonetheless, Followgram, for anyone who was using it, is now pulled offline. So you won't be able to try that out anymore.
No more Followgram.
No more Followgram. The world's coming to
this is a big anniversary.
Yes, it is. I was tweeting before the show, and Dana Brunetti, who we've had on the show, he was the producer for The Social Network, sent us a link, or not a link, just a little note telling us that today, 7 years ago today, Mark Zuckerberg registered the Facebook.com.
Wow.
Yes, the early days of Facebook. I just can't believe it was only 7 years. You know, it seems like it should be so much more. There should be so much more time, but it was only 7 years ago when Facebook was just kind of a a dream in someone's
7
head.
7 years ago. In a way, that seems like a long time because Mark seems so young and Facebook seems so new. But in the same way, it's a very short time for a company to be worth $50 billion.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah. A lot has happened, right?
Wow, that's really cool.
And in some ways, they've really, you know, changed the way that people are obviously communicating. It's funny. I mean, everywhere I go, like even if I'm not immersed in the tech community, I have a friend who lives nearby and she was talking about being on Facebook and, you know, relationships, and so many relationships either flourish or, you know, they end up getting destroyed on Facebook. And you just realize what an impact that site has on people's lives.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal, you know.
Truly is. Facebook, and I never knew this, but if you go to thefacebook.com, it puts you in Facebook. They still own it.
Oh, they still own it. Good for them.
We're going to get our guest on in just a little bit. We will talk to Alexa Andrzejewski. See if I'm getting that right. That's probably wrong.
Can't wait to chat with her.
She's the founder of Food Spotting. We'll talk to her in just a moment. Before we do, though, I would like to say hello to my friends at Ford. They were so great for us. They took us to a CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, paid for our coverage there. If you enjoyed it, thank Ford for that. And, of course, they made a pretty darn big announcement while they were there, which is very cool. They announced the first electric, actually it's not their first electric vehicle, but their first consumer electric vehicle, the Ford Electric Focus, which will be available next year and is going to absolutely, and no doubt in my mind, be my next car. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't these days consider a car after driving my Mustang for a couple of years that didn't have the incredible Ford Sync or the My Ford Touch. I think this is a technology that is transformative, and I'm a huge fan. I want to invite you to go to Sync. I'm typing it in right now. SyncMyRidePodcast.com and take a look. That is what is indubitably, in my mind, the best connectivity system. Well, my spelling is terrible. I'm trying to spell it on the fly, and I put a
W. It's hard to spell and talk.
It is. So I'm going to stop talking for a moment. There. for a moment, and there it is. That looks like it's right. Yeah, SyncMyRidePodcast.com. You'll see the videos there, but let me just give you kind of a verbal description of what it does. It's hands-free calling, so that means the whole premise behind this is we want to stay connected to the outside world. We want to dial friends. We want to listen to music. We want to listen to Pandora as we drive down the road. But we don't, you know, it's dangerous to fiddle with your phone and do all that. I mean, it always makes me scared when I see people doing that. If I see somebody even holding their phone, I kind of stay away from them on the street.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah.
Nerve-wracking.
So the idea is we want to keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road, but yet you don't want to be disconnected. And this is where Ford Sync and My Ford Touch is amazing. You keep your hands on the wheel, you press a button on the wheel, and you say, call Amber MacArthur at home, and it does the dialing. Or you say, navigation, take me to the nearest Denny's. Do you have Denny's? The nearest Tim Hortons.
I think we might, maybe. I don't know. I haven't been there. Hortons. Yeah, let's stick with that.
International House of Pancakes. Everyone has that. It's international.
No, I have.
And it'll take you there. It'll even reroute you if there's traffic. Personalized traffic alerts. 911 assist. This is not frivolous. This is serious. If your airbags deploy, it calls 911, sends them your GPS coordinates, feeds them a message, gives you a chance to talk. That's a real safety feature. Sync is available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. You can make calls on most Bluetooth-enabled phones. In fact, on a couple of my phones, including my Droid X and my Windows 7 phone, when a text message comes in, it notifies me and reads it to me.
Ooh, that's cool. So I need that.
Don't you know you got a text... And you want to look. You don't have to. Just go read it to me. It reads it. It even has canned responses you can send without ever taking your hands off the wheel. Music and podcast search and most MP3 media players because it has a USB port. I'm a big fan. If you want to try it out, the best way to do it, well, there's two ways. Go to SyncMyRidePodcast.com. You'll see videos and so forth. Really, the best way to do it is go to your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury vehicle and test drive Ford Sync. I won't get a car without it. I really won't. And I can't wait to get that new electric Focus. I'm so excited. It's going to be a while.
Right. Yeah, I need to get Sync in my next car, too. I'm committed now after listening to you every week.
No, and it's true. And, you will be the judge, but I think you will tell me, wow, this is great. And I've tried, you know, the other companies now are starting to say, like Toyota just said, oh, we're going to do that. Yeah. Yeah, good luck.
We're trying to play catch up now.
Yeah, we could do that.
I have a Toyota. I can't wait to get rid of it. It's got the worst in-car stuff. It's got the big nav screen and everything, and it's the worst. You can't. My wife can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. If I can't figure something out, you know it's bad.
That's a bad
thing. This is what I do, and I couldn't figure it out. Let's get to Alexa on the line. We can ask her in person how she spells.
Okay, Leo, I just have to go under my computer here and plug my computer in because I forgot to. I don't want to run out of juice.
Plug your computer in. So as Amber disappears,
hold on.
We will get Alexa on the line.
Right back, just climbing underneath the desk.
Actually, we really should watch this, shouldn't we? The amazing disappearing Amber MacArthur.
Hi.
Hey, Alexa, thanks for waiting for us. We appreciate your patience.
Hi, Alexa.
Great to be on.
It's great to meet you.
Okay. This isn't some type of weird show where, like, I'm crawling all around.
There's a reason Amber disappeared. All right, now I'm going to try this. Andrzejewski.
That's probably really close to the Polish pronunciation.
Oh, how do you pronounce it?
We say Andrzejewski.
Just to make it easy.
Just to make it easy.
I don't blame you. It's not your maiden name.
It's not, but my maiden name was Weber.
You inherited that.
Yes.
Hey, congratulations on food spotting. What a success this has proven to be, and rightly so. Was it your idea?
Yes, it was inspired by traveling to Japan, I guess almost 2 years ago now, learning about all these different odd foods there, and learning about Osaka cuisine in particular, and coming back to San Francisco trying to find some of these foods. And so I came back and I realized there wasn't really an easy way to search for a food like okonomiyaki that I discovered there. And I came up with the idea to create essentially like a Yelp for dishes, a way for people to rate dishes instead of just restaurants. And that's kind of how it all began.
So it's dish-focused, not venue-focused.
Right, exactly. So the idea was that instead of rating the place, which can have, you know, many factors contributing to your experience, it's people rating the food. So if you're looking for the best of a certain dish, with FoodSpotting, you can find out what that is. Where's the best ramen, or where's the best New York-style pizza? And we use kind of a really simple rating system, which we call a NOM, which is like a blue ribbon. And people, you know, it's nice to, like, dig for food in that way. So people can simply vote up the foods that they've tried
right.
and they love.
So I'm looking, and by the way, I love this. On the front page, there's a map that shows the best, the latest, the people you're following. Because it's just like Twitter, you can follow people, right?
Yeah, so if you have someone that you trust for food recommendations, or if there's a celebrity chef, like we have Marcus Samuelson on there, who's a celebrity chef. And No Reservations from Anthony Bourdain, the show is on there. You can follow all of them to see recommendations, not just from other people and other users, but from experts. We're really excited about that idea of being like this one-stop shop for recommendations from everybody.
So what's fun is you zoom in on the map. If you go to foodspotting.com, you don't even need to have an account to do this, and you see something interesting, you click it, Swiss burger with thyme mushrooms at Norman Rose Tavern.
It's going to make you really hungry, Leo.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It is. And people actually, it's interesting because people are, I noticed as food spotting has matured, getting better and better at their food photography.
Yeah. So we have some people that have their kind of dedicated food lenses. If you get one of those little short 50 millimeter
they're using
lenses,
the macros. Oh, that explains it.
Amazing food photos.
Yep. That totally
that's one thing
it.
I really love about the site is that, like Leo mentioned, it seems like you're using really great features from, you know, sites like Twitter, and then there's sort of a bit of a Foursquare element. Then we have Google Maps. I mean, it really is using all of these great technologies in some way, or these great.
It's almost a mashup, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like almost like a mashup to create this whole new site with this entirely new community out there.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it as there was no reason to reinvent the wheel. And also, we tap into a lot of existing APIs. For example, we're not a check-in app ourselves, so when you post your food, you can check in on Foursquare. You can share your photo there. And we're not a photo sharing app by itself, so you can share your photos out on Twitter or any social network. It was really important to us to just be integrated with what people were doing already.
It's an interesting way to combine something that's super granular. It's not even a restaurant. It's a dish. So it's so granular, and yet make it more universally usable. I love that.
Yeah, so the idea was that, like, it can really be just an easy way to find a restaurant, even though we're focusing on the dishes. When you just turn on the iPhone app, especially, and the Android app, which we have in beta right now, you immediately see pictures of food that are around you, foods that are around you. And it's just an easier way to find food that's almost like walking by a bakery window and being like, oh, that looks good. I think I'll try that.
Yeah. Are you finding, because I know this happens a lot with a lot of new sites out there, that sometimes the community starts to drive the direction of the site?
That's what's
happened
with Instagram, for sure.
Yeah, they come up with new uses for it and new ideas. Are you finding that the community is kind of taking it in one direction where it's evolving?
I think one of the things, it's definitely, we're always learning things from our users. I mean, one of the elements that emerged over the past year was kind of the scavenger hunt aspect, and people completing certain collections of food or trying to spot all of the foods at a certain restaurant that they love. And that's something that, like, we saw early on people were into and really tried to build into the site and into the app. So in the app, there's what we call guides, which are basically checklists of foods to try. And what was interesting was not just how individuals were using these guides, but how restaurants and how publishers were interested in using these guides. For like a restaurant, for example, one here called Nambe, they created a bunch of guides to their menu, like their late night eats and their sake list, and published them as guides. And then people could, and then they offered like a free glass of sake for spotting all of the things on their guide.
That's
and
great.
And so like, that was really interesting to see. You know, they're basically using it like a traditional punch card, loyalty card. Only the picture is the proof, which is all the better for them too, because when they punch the card, you're not sharing that with anybody. But when they're taking a photo, they're actually evangelizing your food all throughout the web. And so it's been really interesting to see how, you know, restaurants have kind of embraced it and just done experimental things with the guides.
I wonder if people are going into restaurants as well and, you know, they've seen a picture of a dish or, you know, a certain dessert, and they're going in after they've seen this and saying,
oh, I do that all the time. Like this pork loin sandwich at the Petaluma Deli and Barbecue. I can't wait.
Just go in and say, I want this exact
I want that one.
I saw it on FoodSpot.
Yeah,
I
mean, exactly. Exactly.
I've definitely gone to restaurants. Some of the restaurants, of course, change their menu every night. So, I mean, the time-based element becomes important. But I've gone in and been like, oh, I really want this. Do you have anything like this?
Please, you have any left? I love it. Yes. It's really cool. I really think it's a great idea.
I think some of the most fun has been like discovering foods I never would have thought existed. Like lobster mac and cheese or deep fried pickles or deep fried anything. Like if you look for deep fried on food spotting, it's always a humorous experience. But it's funny to find like the different and just cultural mashups, you know, Japanese hot dogs and interesting things like that. And the discovery aspects become more and more important to us because we realize it's people sharing interesting finds.
So you just got a round of financing. And I know that I think there's six people at your company right now. What are your
six?
Plans?
Really? Is that all? Wow. I love these early stage companies. It's, it's amazing. It always blows
small.
My mind. Yeah.
Yep, what are your plans to kind of grow?
So, our focus really is on scaling up the user base to be not like we really want to reach beyond just foodies. We don't want to be a social network for foodies or a niche social network. We really want everybody who is looking for food, whether they're a traveler and they're going to a hotel and they're asking concierge, you know, what should I eat around here? We want everyone to know that food spotting is an easy way to do that. And so we're really focusing on reaching consumers by building up more partnerships with hotels, with local businesses, with food brands to get the word out about food spotting, to sponsor more of these scavenger hunts and things like that. So we're definitely going to be focusing on ramping up our business development efforts. We're also going to be building up the development team because we really have this vision of food spotting becoming like the Pandora for food, where because it's so focused on discovery, and already just when you turn it on, you're seeing a stream of things you might not have discovered otherwise, and there's that serendipity aspect. But we'd like to make it kind of smarter and smarter serendipity. So the more that you interact with it, the more you know, we know that you're bookmarking pork loin sandwiches, the more pork things we can put in front of you. And, you know, convert you into being more pork or whatever it is. And I think that...
I hope Leo had something to eat before the show.
Yeah, now I'm starving, I have to admit. You know, it's an interesting challenge, though, because there is kind of check-in fatigue. I mean, I've got Gowalla, Foursquare, food spotting, Instagram. And do you find that people use all of them or that they eventually settle on food spotting and make that their Foursquare check-in app? And how do you foresee that shaking out? Because clearly they can't all survive.
Right. I mean, I think we try to play up that we're easier than writing a long review on a traditional review site, right? With food spotting, it's like it's easier to recommend something that you like. We're hoping that by, like with Instagram, for example, they were immediately out the door integrated with you know, 8 different services or something.
Right.
And, you know, in the same way, you know, we want to partner with these other sites to not replicate what they're doing.
That's
well.
A good idea. Right.
Because with Foursquare, I mean, it's about sharing photos of the whole experience. And for us, you know, it's really about sharing a food that you recommend. And those tips then go to Foursquare. And if you bookmark something on FoodSpotting, it becomes a to-do on Foursquare. And so we're always trying to find the logical integration points.
Right.
And that will hopefully kind of create a loop too. So if you check into a place on Foursquare and you see tips from FoodSpotting, it might remind you that you can check FoodSpotting to find out what you should eat at that venue and what it all looks like.
So right now I'm connected on my FoodSpotting account to my Flickr account, to my Foursquare account, to my Facebook account, to my Twitter account. I mean, that pretty much covers the waterfront right there.
Yeah.
But I suppose it'd be kind of nice if I could also Instagram it at the same time as I food spotted it.
Right. Yeah, I know. We've definitely we definitely would love that too.
I would think too that, you know, businesses, restaurants, bakeries, they will probably drive to the direction in terms of where you're going. Because, you know, if you think that they're latch on to the idea of, you know, offering discounts or deals for people who take pictures and share those pictures or whatever it might be, and there's a real opportunity there for you guys to make money, for them to gain new customers, and for that kind of win-win for everyone.
Right. Look at this.
For small businesses, I mean, I was going to say a lot of the appeal is the positive aspect of food spotting, that it's not people rating places that they didn't like. It's people recommending things they did like.
Yeah, they rarely say, I hated something.
Yeah, I mean, we even encourage people to only share a food if they recommend it.
Right.
Like, the idea is really people sharing location-based recommendations. And I feel like that positive aspect really gives it a lot of appeal to small businesses.
Here's a cool one. This is the ultimate trail of nachos in New York City.
Yum.
See, I'm going to New York next week. So now if I really, I could be crazy.
Could you really eat?
How many nachos can I eat? Look at that.
Weekend.
There's quite a few, actually. That's fantastic. I love that.
This was created by a nacho blogger.
Blogger.
Of course. What else?
It's
right?
To see kind of a lot of these like food experts. There's Cupcakes Take the Cake is on there.
Oh, I love cupcakes. Yep.
Yep. They've created a couple of guides, I think, to Chicago cupcakes.
My wife is going to add this site to the blocked sites on OpenDNS because I'm not going to be allowed to go.
You joke about the food spotting 15.
You go there to daydream, Leo, you know.
The food spotting 15. Those are the 15 pounds you gain from using food spotting.
Yes, exactly. And if you work here, it's maybe double.
So people can follow you just as they would follow you on Twitter or Instagram, and you could follow them back. It's kind of which is nice. It's not an automatic link. You decide whether you want to follow them back.
And what's even more unique is you can actually follow foods. So if you love pizza, if you love
I do love pizza.
Sparkling, you can follow those things as well. You can follow types of food too, like deep fried food.
How do I do that? Do I search for a pizza and then follow it?
So if you go to any food page, if you go to the pizza page or the margarita pizza page,
you can say follow.
Follow button. And you can follow venues as well, which I think will be interesting to see, you know, if a lot of people are following a certain venue, that venue might want to post their Blue Plate specials every day or, you know, keep the stream up to date more. And it could be an interesting way to communicate with people when they're hungry and reach hungry people, which is a great audience and like a very focused audience to have.
Now, currently the all-time top food spotter is a guy named Randy F., who has 105,000 points. Do you know this guy?
We have. He came to our housewarming party here in San Francisco.
He must have been a very early adopter. I mean, he must take a picture of everything he ever eats.
I would look at his expert titles. So in FoodSpotting, you can become experts in certain foods. So if you scroll down, you'll see all of his different expert titles.
Right. Oh, he's got a lot of good. Okay, so
it's amazing how many things he's an expert in and the badges that he's gotten.
Seafood, soup, sushi, dessert, beef, fish, noodles, chicken. So this
and there
is
are
another
levels. So those were all platinum level. If you scroll down, then there's also gold, silver, and
oh
bronze.
Oh my
levels.
God, this guy's out of control. So you have achievements, and that obviously is the key to a lot of these kinds of sites. The achievements. People, in fact, I noticed Ford in its new application for its electric car is going to have achievements for good drivers, you know? We like achievements, don't we?
Yeah, and I think for food people who, I mean, this is something that we saw people, like, even when we were testing the idea of food spotting, bragging about. They're like, you know, hey, I've tried every grilled cheese in the city, or I am the nacho expert.
Right.
You know, I'll totally be the nacho expert on your site. We're like, yeah, if you're the nacho expert, why don't you prove it?
Eat some nachos and take a picture. You know, what's interesting about this crazy guy who has spotted 2,431 different... He's a very good photographer. He must be using one of those special lenses on his phone.
There's a mix. There's iPhone photos, too, clearly.
Yeah.
But look at this.
I mean, this guy...
They're beautiful.
I don't think he actually doesn't even have an iPhone. I forgot about that.
Oh, that's interesting. So he's uploading them. And you could do this, by the way. He's uploading them to... He's getting home and uploading them.
Yeah, I mean, having the web experience for Food Spotting was really important to us, too.
I like that. I have to say, I really admire that you did that. And it's one of the things we've complained about Instagram. But you can really have that web experience. And I think that was a smart thing for you to do. It makes a big difference.
Well, part of this, too, is we really want Food Spotting to be for everyone. And we know, like, a lot of people, you know, my parents' generation, my parents are from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They don't, you know, they mostly make food decisions by going to the web and researching in advance. And a lot of people still do that. And if you're going to a hotel... You know, you log on and you go to the hotel Wi-Fi portal and you're looking for food from there. And that's how a lot of people still make decisions. A lot of people still use, you know, books and local guides like that. So, you know, we partner with Zagat, for example, to take some of their recommendations and put them on Food Spotting as well. But really trying to reach that mass market audience, the people who love Anthony Bourdain and the Travel Channel, for example.
Seems
like a great way to explore a new city. You know, now I'm thinking the next city I go to, I'm just going to go to Food Spotting and check out all the pictures of food and just be like, I want that and that and that.
Yeah.
It is really interesting because it brings out the characteristics of neighborhoods and areas too. You know, if you jump over to Tokyo or if you go down to South Africa, you can really explore the world through food, and a lot of culture is expressed through food. I think that's part of why people love to share food in particular so much, because it's a reflection of you. It's a reflection of your culture, even your neighborhood, you know, the Mission District, what's it known for? And what's this other, you know, the Richmond known for in San Francisco? And every neighborhood has its unique foods. And there's almost this like mental map in my mind of like how I see San Francisco by the foods that I can find in various neighborhoods.
Now you're allowed to food spot a menu, or I guess he just attaches it to a particular food.
Yeah, that's his foie gras sighting.
Yeah.
It's actually helpful. I mean,
I love the menus. I think you need a menu
spotting
category. Yeah.
Menu spotting badge.
Yeah. Would you do that?
It's helpful. So, yeah, we thought about that. Just having a menu spotting, menu tag or menu here or there.
Good idea.
And we have thought about, you know, expanding to beyond. And people spot things not just at restaurants, but at local retailers like bakeries and specialty food stores and things like that. And that's really interesting too. You know, even at Whole Foods, you know, there's things you can find at one but not another. And so like it's interesting to see the different, like kind of the broadening of food spotting beyond just restaurant food.
Well, Alexa, we just love this. I wish you the best. This is always loved this application, and now it makes me want to get a better camera and take better food pictures and compete
too
with Randy F, who's only been doing it for 2 years.
Going down, Leo.
I'm going to take him down.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to South America. I'm going to go to Buenos Aires, and I'm going to definitely look at the foods there. And you really do have, if you look at the map, a completely international crowd.
It's funny to watch the foods move across the world as the time zone shifts.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
We always have this up at work, and you know, you can see what time of day it is by the foods being spotted.
In many ways, this is a second-generation social network, or third or fourth. I mean, you've got kind of the Twitter vision map going here. You've got the pictures, the TwitPic/Instagram pictures. I'm thrilled to hear that you've got an Android coming along. I'm going to sign up for that.
The beta's out, so you should sign up, and we'll send you our next round.
Yeah, I really want to do that. You've got achievements. You've got, you know, you just kind of put it all together in one just nom, 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 tasty little buddy bundle there. Thank you.
Interesting. Yeah, and we're excited about it.
Yeah.
So we want to keep focused with all of that, too. And I think that's the big key, too.
Yes, very tempting to put too many features in something like that, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
thank you for coming on the show, and hopefully people will check out the site at foodspotting.com or follow you on Twitter, or hopefully do both.
What's your Twitter handle? Is it at foodspotting?
At foodspotting, yes.
Great. And foodspotting.com. Thank you, Alexa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take
care. Good to meet you guys.
Great to talk to you.
Bye.
I'm starving, and I just had lunch.
So hungry now.
Mean. I like the foodspotting 15. Isn't that funny?
We all suffer from this at the office.
We all have the Food Spotting 15. That just cracks me up, I tell you. Well, I'm going to stop looking at pictures of food and start looking at pictures of Amber.
All right. More fun. All right. to get off that site.
I can't gain weight looking at Amber.
You can't. This is good news.
It's a new rule. One never gains weight looking at Amber.
You can just put a picture of me in your office every time you want to eat. You look.
Oh, now. I didn't mean I'd lose weight. I just.
Oh, no.
You just don't make me fat. So as this would, absolutely. If I'm really tempted to do it, but I just, and I have done it a little bit, but I know I would get so fat.
Yeah, but you could do it with all the healthy food you're eating. Maybe that would, you know, be fun.
Healthy food spotting.
Yeah, because if you think about it, if you're like getting food from your local takeout place for lunch, and you could just kind of share all those pictures, because it'd be neat to probably look back at, you know, all of the great healthy, you know, food you've been eating, I would think.
As long as it is. Let's take a break, and then we're going to get our site of the night and our video of the night in just a little bit. Actually, it's the video / song of the night.
Yes.
But before we do that, can I remind you about Hover.com? I know you know these guys, Amber. In fact, I just saw Andy and Sean and a bunch of people from Butterscotch. That's another. Yeah, they were down at the CES. It's great to see them all. That's another venture of the Two Cows family. But Hover is their domain registration. And you probably heard of Domains Direct. That was the original name. But they've redesigned, updated, and made this simply the best registrar ever. I get notes all the time. In fact, I should search for the one I just got yesterday. I haven't asked the guy permission. Maybe not. But if you go to hover.com, actually go to Knight, Knight.hover.com. You'll see what I'm talking about. A very simple and clean interface. Already kind of a breath of fresh air from the cluttered interfaces of so many domain name registrars. I mean, they really, so many of them are just, you know, you can't, it's a 50-click process just to get out of the site. If you go to knight.hover.com, you could search for your new domain name. You can they don't do a lot of services. It's very straightforward. Domain forwarding, email forwarding, custom URLs. They don't try to upsell you on privacy because every Hover account includes privacy. It's very easy to forward your domains to Hover. I've done that. I'm still working on it, but I should have done. And they have this really great deal, which I don't know what I was thinking about. $25 to forward all your domains.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Transfer them. Should have done it. Been doing it slowly. Pain in the butt. Don't want to do it. Partly because that other domain registrar really doesn't want to let me go. Wonder why. Also, they have a great no-hold policy at Hover.com. If you call for tech support during business hours, they will not put you on hold. Promise they will resolve it.
That's the best part, I think, about it, is being able to get in touch with an actual human.
Yeah, if I think about how many times I've been put on the hold by those other guys, it's just absolutely painful. Use Hover's domain management to set up email addresses, forward email addresses, redirect your domains to other website addresses, create URL extensions, built-in free privacy, all with fewer clicks and without upsells. I really like that. And it's just so easy to transfer your domains to Hover. It's free to do so. They will charge you $10, but that gives you another full year of that domain after the normal expiration, the current expiration date. So it really is a pretty amazing deal. Hover.com. In fact, go to knight.hover.com, and when you use the offer code NIGHT, you'll save 10% right up front, making it an even better deal. Knight.hover.com. We love Hover.com. Loves it. I want you to try it today. HOVER.com. Your site of the night, Amber MacArthur.
Yeah, so the site of the night is something I discovered just yesterday. It's called reface.me. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but it's a place where you can get different Facebook hacks. So, for instance, with the new Facebook profile pages, a lot of people are doing interesting things where they have their image, their actual...
Yeah, have you seen mine?
Spread across multiple pictures. Does yours do that too?
I used PicScatter to do it.
Okay.
And I'll have to try reface.me. PicScatter is pretty good. If I go to my profile here... You see, I've got a long picture, and then that doesn't match up because my page, I get an extra line. So, but this will match up and go across, and it's very cool.
It's very cool. So yeah. You can do find out how to do things like that on reface.me. Plus, there are a bunch of other hacks. There's also great Facebook news. It really is a destination for Facebook addicts.
That's interesting.
And for people who want to do something to make their page look more original.
So they don't do everything. They would point you to, for instance, PicScatter and that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, they point you to a lot of stuff. They do some stuff. For instance, if you want to have an upside down status update, and I have no idea why you would want to do this, they do have an upside down status update generator, of course, where you can go and turn your status updates upside down. But mostly they point to a lot of different destinations and just really have trends as far as what people are doing to hack their Facebook pages. And it's something that I don't really read a lot about. So I was excited to come across the site and see all the wealth of information they have there about Facebook and what you can do to be original.
This is neat. This is really neat. Yeah. I think because of the new profile, a lot of people are doing these interesting things with the profile page. This is the one I used. It's very simple. It's called PicScatter. You basically just upload a picture to it, and it will create all of the different parts so that it all kind of matches together.
Okay. Gotcha.
So it makes a long thing. And you want to kind of use a picture that will have a horizontal component as well as a vertical component. And it works pretty well. So pretty cool.
It's just fun to mess around with your page, you know.
It's very MySpace-like.
It is, but it looks better.
It ends up making you look just like MySpace. Maybe it's the beginning of the end, isn't it?
Let's hope not.
Once you have that kind of thing, then you know you're almost done. ReFaceMe.com. Yeah. I'm sorry, ReFace.me.
ReFace.me, yep.
And finally, Facebook's in the video of the week as well.
I know. You know what? Before we mention this video of the week, I should say that a lot of people wanted us to do, I think it's Ted Williams, the guy with the golden voice.
Oh, yeah. That's been done to death.
That's been done. That's what I thought. So I wanted to come up with something different.
We should acknowledge it. I mean, Ted, Columbus Television Station took a video of this guy with this great voice, but he was homeless. And then people saw it, and 3 million people saw it in just a couple of days on YouTube. That commenced a search for the guy. Reddit folks commenced that search and did find him.
He did a lot, yeah.
I saw him on the Today Show. He got a job doing Kraft macaroni and cheese. And I guess good for him. I think he's going to do all right.
He's on his way up and up.
So tell us about this video. That's not Ted Williams.
It's not Ted Williams, but it is a new Facebook song. Maybe not as catchy as, is it Rhett and Link, who did, I think, what was kind of the I don't want to say the original Facebook song, but they got a ton of traction for it. This Facebook song is just really about how people can't live without Facebook, and it's so intertwined in our lives.
Amber MacArthur is at AmberMac.com. That's her blog. You can see her on CP24 with her WebNation TV show. And do not forget to watch the best-looking video podcast in the world. It's called Command N at CommandN.tv, and it covers all the latest stuff from the net each and every week. Great to talk to you, Amber. Have a wonderful week.
You too, Leo.
I won't be here next week. I'll be on Regis and Kelly, so Sarah Lane will be hosting, but I'll be back 2 weeks hence.
And, all right.
We'll see you then. Meanwhile, the Facebook song.
This is a song that I wrote called The Facebook Song. Stop wasting all my time. I know it's my fault for logging in, but I'd rather blame you than myself. Facebook, oh, it would be sublime if I could erase you without being disconnected from society. Facebook thinks to me, you know, every time I hear something funny, I think, oh, that's totally going in my favorite quote section. I know. the awkward happy birthday wishes. Thanks, Tim from Uzbekistan. I hope you have a good birthday too when yours rolls around. Before Facebook, I was never a stalker. But now I'm frightened by my ability to find the profiles of hot guys on campus whose names I don't know. Until I find their Facebook profile, that is.